again, always every Thursday from Fashion Furniture. Since 1960, Fresno's largest locally family-owned furniture store. It steps away from Fresno's premium mattress store, Sleep Retreat, you know, brands like Tempur-Pedic and Stearns and Foster. Just come by, say hi, and they'll take care of you and your family wherever you need for a mattress with an adjustable base or premium furniture like Flex Steel, Omnia, Jonathan Lewis. A good atmosphere here on the floor of Fashion Furniture. We got pizza and maybe giving away some Bulldog baseball tickets if you want to come by. Just come by, say hi. Your host, Phil Benatti, here. We've got producer Jorge as well on the line as well. And what a big day of sports we have going on. A lot going on here on the airwaves and all around the sports world. Of course, everyone getting prepped up for the NFL draft starting tonight. This at 5 o'clock, you'll be hearing it on our airwaves and our reaction. Of course, we were pushing this out over the last 24 hours, Blast and Brews from 5 to 7. Myself and a few guests will be there reacting to some of the picks, some of the big moments in the NFL draft as we go through round one starting at 5 o'clock. Of course, the Bears, number one overall pick there. They'll start off the draft. What are the Raiders going to do? What are the Niners going to do as far as maybe a trade opportunity down the stretch? A lot to get into tonight. Of course, if you're looking for some of the program scheduling as well, the Oakland A's are going to be on 790 starting at 4:05. We'll have the Lakers on 790 as well after that at around 7 o'clock as well. And then after our coverage of the NFL draft, we'll have the Fresno Grizzlies on 14:30. That is going to be after the draft at around 6:50. First pitch there against the San Jose Giants. Just lovely to get back on the airwaves. I know it was off yesterday and had a lot to get to with all kinds of things going on in the sports world. We saw some interesting news leading up to certain events. Of course, Reggie Bush getting his Heisman back, and then some other big things as well. But I wanted to start with the NFL draft. Going to be a lot of fun to see how this one plays out. We'll break it down as we go over the next couple hours, and then the next couple hours after that at Blast and Brews. But got a couple good guests on today's show as well. Chris Maxey going to join us at around 3:40. That is Xavier Worthy's high school coach here at Central High for football. We'll break it down with him as far as how Xavier's feeling ahead of the draft. Will we hear Xavier Worthy's name selected tonight? I've seen some things mocked with him as far as going to the Niners, a local team. That would be pretty fun to see his name being called tonight if we get that opportunity. We'll chat with him at around 3:40. And then at the end of the show, a special guest, at least to me, my father's going to come on the air for the first time. He'll talk a little Grizzlies baseball, you know, working with the Grizzlies for the last 5 years, a good baseball team down there at Chachansky, and then as far as NFL draft and our memories of watching the NFL draft and having a lot of fun seeing what, you know, my favorite team, the Patriots, are doing, or maybe not a lot of fun. It's been an interesting ride over the last 20, 25 years seeing what that organization has done through the draft. But an exciting time, an optimistic time. I talked about that as we get closer and closer to the NFL draft. And certainly one of the most volatile drafts we've seen in a long time with what things could happen. The amount of player movement that we could see, certainly some headlines as far as the way the offensive players have dominated the narratives throughout the NFL draft. But, you know, I've been bouncing out, you know, certain opinions and ideas throughout as far as who's going to be trading up. The Raiders, certainly a team that everybody's been looking at as far as how they're going to jump up in the draft. It seems pretty settled, according to reports, that the Chicago Bears, they're certainly going to stay at one. The Commanders have affirmed that they're going to be standing at two. So where are the Raiders going to try to move up as far as the NFL draft is concerned? Of course, the Patriots have been fielding talks of trading at three. I know the Vikings are trying to leapfrog the Raiders. We all saw that Raider-Viking game this past year, 3-0. I think both teams knew they kind of needed a quarterback after that performance out there in Vegas. But We'll break it all down. Looking forward to that as far as the draft. I want to bring in Jorge over there on the other side of the line. You know, Jorge, you know, as far as the NFL draft, you know, we've been hyping it up, building it up as far as what could happen. I know you've got a lot of thoughts of where this night could go, but it, finally, draft day is here. What are you looking forward to most with what's going to go down in Detroit starting at around 5 o'clock?
Maybe just a good draft by the Niners, probably. That's what I want.
The Niners certainly in that position. And what are you hoping they do tonight? I know we've seen the Xavier Worthy name thrown out in a few mock drafts. Are you hoping they go that route? Is this the route the Niners should go?
No, I think they have all the priorities that they need to come up with. I think the whole whether Ayuk leaves or not, then maybe that's where we go for a wide receiver, but I think defensively you need to fill up some holes there, especially in the secondary that you had trouble with last season. So hopefully we can get something there and start with that.
Yeah, you make a good point. You know, the Niners, with their struggles down the stretch, it seemed like a team that was always kind of playing from behind down the stretch with how volatile that offense could be, how dynamic that offense could be. They always seemed to be playing catch up, especially in the playoffs. We saw how that Lion game went, and one of the bigger comebacks we've seen in the NFC Championship. You would hope to not dig yourself in some holes as we're really kind of running into the last opportunity that it feels like to have this whole group together for the San Francisco 49ers. I'm sure Niner fans on edge to see if they can keep the whole band together. Is that kind of, you know, does this feel like the last chance to see this kind of version of the Niners before there's going to be a lot of tough choices made?
I feel like they could pick up some good players here that could add to the talent that they already have. And but yeah, it does feel like something that could add to a Super Bowl contending team. Because after that, and there's going to be a bunch of money problems that not going to come up, and everybody wants to get paid, and they should. I mean, they've been playing well and performed their most, so I don't know. Hopefully it's not the last good draft we have, but definitely it's going to be something to be looked on.
We'll get to – I have a little bit more on the Niners a little bit later in the show. We'll get to what, John Lynch has been saying about the Ayuk situation. We could talk about that, especially with how the signing of Amon-Ra St. Brown has now affected things a little bit. I know that's been a big news point yesterday and what that could do as far as Ayuk's market. Overall things to look for in this draft, of course, it's been offensive heavy. We've seen the idea that this could be the first 10 picks maybe could be offense, which has never happened before in the NFL draft, so we could see something like that. Are we going to see that run of talent on the offensive end, or will Dallas Turner go to the Falcons like everyone's saying? I know people are looking at history. Is offense king now in the NFL? I don't know, Jorge, do you feel like offense is the new defense per se in the NFL, and you just got to grab your guys where they are?
Yeah, but I feel like there's a lot of defensive players that are have a really good talent and they look really promising. It's just the thing is that offensive players for whatever reason get a little bit more of a shine to them, especially in college, because they're the ones making the plays, you know, they're the ones making the touchdowns, you know, they're the ones that are like always in front of the cameras. And the defensive players, yeah, they might get a tackle or two and be in the camera, but not as much as the offensive players. That's how I feel.
It's interesting. I was looking, you know, through Twitter the other day, and I saw an interesting stat line when it comes to hit and miss rate as far as the way guys are drafted. You're in the top three positions as far as guys that have gotten to their second contract with the team. And I don't think it comes as much surprise, really. For number one, 92% of first-round picks that were centers signed to their second contract. Then it went 59% offensive tackles. That was the second best. And then guards at 50%. 50% of guards who were drafted in the first round were signing their second contract. So safe moves are usually the offensive line, and then if you go to the bottom three, it's those receiving categories. It starts with safety right there at 34% to 33% of first rounders. A tight end only make it to their second contract, and then wide receiver, an abysmal 27%. So with all this wide receiver talent, the odds are stacked against these players as far as making an impact on these teams right away, if not staying with those teams. It should be interesting.
Yeah, definitely. There's more talent out there, and I feel like it's just, you know, you just gotta find it in different ways, you know.
I don't think anyone's an expert in football evaluation. You know the guys that you have. Usually, the character means a lot more as well. You know, as far as how this guy's gonna turn out as a career player, sometimes that gets overlooked. We'll see how it goes. But, you know, the draft, a lot of drama is going to be built up coming in. We'll touch on it a little bit more, maybe make a few predictions as we get into the NFL draft. We got a great show ahead of us here, live from Fashion Furniture, always on a Thursday, home field advantage. We'll dive into some other topics as well, talk about some of the good Fresno State news, maybe with some of the new guys coming in, and we'll talk a little preps, of course. We got a couple of guests as well, so stay with us here on 1430 ESPN Fresno. You're listening to the Valley's local sports leader. Welcome back to Home Field Advantage. Phil Bonatti here, taking you through the next couple hours. Big night of NFL draft action coming up at 5 o'clock here on 1430 ESPN Fresno. We'll be at the Blast and Brews over on Palm and Herndon after this from 5 to 7, reacting to a lot of the big action as well. But right now, I'm coming to you live from Fashion Furniture, always here on Thursdays with Home Field Advantage here. And, you know, a fantastic selection of furniture around here when you come and visit, and lovely staff to work with as well. So we were talking NFL draft coming up. There was a lot of question marks, some certainties in some aspects with who's going to go where in the first couple picks, but we'll see how it plays out. Just wanted to dive into some of the teams, obviously, that are, you know, we're covering as well. I think some of the interesting aspects of I saw some reports about the Rams and the LA Rams. I don't think people realize how uninvolved they've been with the draft. I know everyone knows the moniker. I can't repeat on air the, you know, what they say about those draft picks, but I don't think a lot of people know that the last time the Rams have had a first-round pick was in 2016. That's when they traded up to go get Jared Goff, and they're looking to potentially do that again, get into the top 10, and maybe go on the offensive side of things. So some reports out there. That's an intriguing decision by LA, who has been a team that has certainly been building from the bottom half. Of course, one of our own. You know, Ronnie Rivers is one of those products of those guys, you know, competing at that level and getting a little bit of look towards the tail end of that year, you know, being an undrafted guy and now contributing on an offense that continues to find ways to fill those holes. So the Rams finding ways to do that. But it's interesting to kind of go against that and see if they can go and get a top 10 guy in this draft. We'll see. We'll see if the market is there. This adds to a team of clusters like the Raiders, like the Vikings, certainly other teams that could be interested in trading up. So we'll see how that all plays out. It's going to be a long list of teams looking to get into that top 10. I know the Patriots are the team to watch as far as who's trading in and out. The Chargers certainly could be a team that could find a way to get a good package deal. I know offensive line is the hallmark of what Jim Harbaugh wants to build as far as his foundation's concerned, and we'll see what needs the Chargers want to address. I know they certainly need some weapons around Justin Herbert. We'll see what they do. Them at number five is going to be very interesting to follow. I would say that the Raiders are going to be trading with the Chargers, so with the divisional rivalry aspect of it, although I've seen crazier trades before with that, but we'll see how that goes. John Lynch had some interesting comments when it came to Brandon Ayuk. I know this situation has been developing, and just yesterday we saw Amon-Ra St. Brown sign a major deal, 4 years, $120 million. Of course, the guaranteed money is what you look at in those deals, but certainly the price tag has gone up with that deal. We'll see, Devontae Smith get a deal as well, and we certainly believe Brandon Ayuk is better than Devontae Smith. I don't know if Brandon Ayuk's better than Amon-Ra St. Brown, but he sure could be in the conversation of being in that echelon. But, John Lynch had some things to say about the Ayuk situation. I know we got a clip here that I want to cue up here. And, let's hear from John Lynch on the Brandon Ayuk situation as it stands this week.
I know a couple years ago there was a lot of talk about another receiver, Debo, and I said the same thing, but with B.A., B.A., I've communicated on a couple occasions, on many occasions, our wish. And our wish is that he's here and a part of the Niners for the rest of his career. We're working through that. And, as such, I was a player once, and I never liked my business being out in the public. And so I'm going to respect that. I'm not going to speak for their side. I can say we're having good talks, and I'm just going to leave it at that. And we'll focus on the draft here today. But that's just want to understand you guys have a job to do and respect that. But that's kind of the tone I'm going to take there. So
it almost sounds like John Lynch is gritting his teeth here a little bit, with how the situation has handled, but he has been in this before with Debo Samuel, and they were able to work it through and get a deal done. And I know the money is tight wherever you try to find it. Brandon Ayuk certainly has made his business a little more clear on the social media side of things with some posts, especially on Instagram, seeing how, Amon-Ra St. Brown, him reacting to that deal. Jorge, you're a Niner fan, right? And so you see Lynch talking about the Ayuk situation. Does it sound like he's tiptoeing around it a little bit, trying to continue to work through a delicate situation, or do you sense a little frustration when he's talking about the Brandon Ayuk situation?
No, I think he's doing the same thing he did with Debo. Just let everybody say what they got to say, and they're going to keep working quietly in the background, and hopefully they get it done.
Yeah, hopefully they get it done as well. I think if we're going to go prediction time, I'm going to officially put my flag down here. I do not think a deal gets done tonight. I don't think we get this A.J. Brown-like situation. I think Ayuk remains a Niner by the end of the weekend. I think they assess what they have with who they pick, especially in the first round. But I don't think there is enough there for them to commit to making a deal. I think people are too cagey around these situations. And to me, I don't think Ayuk gets traded. Jorge, your prediction, I don't know. Do you have a prediction for the Ayuk situation as we play through this weekend?
It's very similar to yours, actually. The thing is that when you see it, there's no player like a Ayuk in this draft. Maybe Marvin Harrison Jr. Maybe could compete, but at the same time, it's like he's gonna be a rookie. How much do you want to put a rookie, in positions that Ayuk, who's a veteran, who's already been there, could do just as well. So
yeah, you never know what you're gonna get with those rookies, right? And I said that before with this stat, 27% of rookie wide receivers make it to the second contract. That's only from the first round. So what can you really trust with that when you know you have the sure thing? And certainly the Niners know they have a sure thing with Ayuk. It is just the hope that, you know, with the familiarity with the team, with familiarity with the situation, that they can figure it out. I do believe the Niners can figure it out. They have the pathway to do it. Now, next offseason, things can get absolutely complicated with the Purdy situation, but I think we're kicking the can down the road a little bit with this and just hope we can keep the band back together.
Yeah, definitely. I don't see them going anywhere. It's just, you know, they have the money. I'm pretty sure they have the money. It's just, you know, other stuff that is out there, like how long does he want to stay in San Francisco? And if he doesn't win a Super Bowl or he doesn't get to a Super Bowl, what does that say about, you know, the team that he's going to be in a couple of years? You know, all that plays into the contract negotiations. And you don't know how that's going to end.
Yeah, so we'll see how it goes, you know. Certainly a championship could change a lot of stuff like that with the situation, but we'll see how it plays out. Hey, let's take another quick break here. You're listening to 1430 ESPN Fresno, Valley's local sports leader. Back to home field advantage. Phil Bonatti here, and on a Thursday from Fashion Furniture, live from Fashion Furniture up until about 5 o'clock, and then we will take you over to Blastin' Brews for our draft party. For our draft party over on Palm and Herndon. First round of the NFL draft coming tonight. Wanted to get into some local high school action. Of course, always a great resource. Gabe Camarillo came on Tuesday and talked about the baseball landscape as far as how things are looking, especially in the track. Of course, he talked about how Clovis had such a big series against Clovis North over the past week and shooting up to the number one spot in the league there. But how about this? Clovis East getting a 5-4 win last night over that tough Clovis team, and suddenly we're right back where we are, right? We're shuffling the deck a little bit when it comes to the track. And Gabe kind of called it. It was like, if this Clovis East team, you know, they find a way to win some games here, and they certainly did, getting it done against Clovis yesterday. Clovis West beating Buchanan 8-4 last night as well. You saw Central shut out Clovis North, winning 9-0 out there. You know, certainly some upsets on the horizon here when it comes to baseball. And of course, we're only halfway through the week here. I know some more games are on the horizon when it comes to this level of baseball. You know, we had some of our Cal High Sports Northern California Baseball Player of the Week was announced. I want to shout out McGuire Smith of Liberty out there at Madera Ranchos, you know, going a perfect 6-for-6 at the plate last week over against O'Neill's, you know, the UC Riverside-bound athlete looking to continue to ride a great season for Liberty. I know they got a win or two over Yosemite over this past week, but the kid's hitting .452, you know, with a homer and some triples, RBIs. This kid's the real deal going to Riverside. So congrats to him on being the NorCal Baseball Player of the Week. Certainly some other shout-outs as well. Some All-State basketball was released over the past 24 hours. You know, some top names. Looking at some of the guys, of course, second team in the Division I level, Connor Amundsen of Clovis North making it there as well. We want to shout out Logan Kilbert of Sierra, all-time leading scorer, I believe, in his level, and deciding on today, announcing on Twitter today that he's going to go walk on at Weber State. Of course, that program, a lot familiar with some folks if they know a certain Dame Lillard was over there at Weber State, and Dame Lillard certainly playing a big part in the playoffs with Milwaukee. So A kid from there, from Toll House, going out there to Weber State. We'll see what he can do out there with the program, but looking forward to seeing some of that. He ends up being a first-teamer out there at Division Four. So the full list out there at CalHighSports.com. So from a really exciting basketball season out here in the state. But should be a lot of fun following the prep sports. I'm getting my toes dipped a little bit as far as that's concerned. And looking forward to talking to some of the personalities from around the region. And I get the chance to do that here in a little bit. We got Chris Maxey coming on, the Central football coach, here in about 5 minutes, to talk about his time with Xavier Worthy. Looking forward to chatting with him about what his prospects are for tonight in the NFL draft. Of course, if you're down here at Fashion Furniture, we got some baseball tickets. I got tickets to Bulldogs game against CSU Bakersfield. That's on May 14th. So if you're looking to go out and support the Dogs, Dogs need some support right now. It's been a tough going over the last week and a half or so, losing six straight. But hoping to turn this season around, because it's been a wonderful season overall, but they'll need that support out there at the ballpark. So they're out at Washington State this weekend, so looking to see what they do there. So we'll have Chris Maxey on after this, so we'll take a quick break, and we'll be right back, chat with him about the NFL draft. You're listening to 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader. Welcome back to Home Field Advantage Live on a Thursday from Fashion Furniture. And now we have a great guest, a timely guest for tonight. Big draft night here, and one of the top players are looking at Xavier Worthy and his high school coach, Chris Maxey, now joining us on the hotline here. And Chris, hey, thanks for joining us on a Thursday. I know it's going to be a busy night for you, but I appreciate you joining us and taking some time.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Anytime.
Yeah, Chris, you know, crazy night for you, I'm sure, you know, with one of the top players, I know, with that Central program. And I got to ask, first off, I know you're hosting a party tonight, and, you know, what's on the menu tonight at the draft party as you're watching to see if you see Xavier's name called?
Oh, we've got some ribs, some chicken on there, some hot links. So be on the grill, watching, excited to the chance to watch Xavier live his dream of walk across that stage.
Yeah, you guys go way back, don't you? You know, with your history. I think I read somewhere you met him back in, when he was a third grader. You know, tell me about getting to know Xavier, getting to know him right off the bat, and what kind of kid he was when you were first getting to know him.
Oh, man, he's an exciting kid, you know. When I met him at an elementary school, on the field and the playground, he looked like Reggie Bush on the field. So I knew he was going to be very, very special. So when he got up age to play, I couldn't wait to have him on the team. And, you know, from there, he bought into everything we were telling him and wanted him to do, and with his natural ability, he just excelled. So it was always a highlight reel to see.
Yeah, highlight reel player, and a guy who's developed his talent at the Central program, you know, but it wasn't just football for him, right? You made it a point for him to get involved in some other things, you know, especially track and field, right? Tell me about getting him developed there.
Well, since younger, Xavier did everything, you know. He started with cross country, you know. He actually won the city championship in cross country. And then we got him into track. You know, he thought, before he ran track, he thought that track would be like cross country. You have to run long distance. But I told him, you can run short distance. You don't have to run the full mile. So he was shying away from the track. And then once I got him to run track, he just took off from there. His first race, he won by a pretty good margin. And he was excited, and we just kept building from there, and he just kept racking up them medals.
That short distance, I feel like he's like, oh, I don't have to run that far? You know, like, I feel like this is a little easy, a little bit better for me.
Yeah, he didn't want to run. He didn't want to run no long distance no more. But it's crazy, you know, because you see kids that can run that fast and short distance, but also compete in long distance races. You know, he was pretty unique.
How do those skills, you know, because, kids get into football and at a little bit of later age, but, like, how does that skill translate to the football field? Obviously, speed is so important when you're playing the wideout position, but why was it so crucial for him to get in that and then become, you know, have it translate to the football field when you first got him on your roster?
Well, when you put the ball in his hand, he has the skills and natural talent, but most speedsters, you know, they just can run fast going straight. You know, him having the change of direction and consistently working on his craft, you know, catching the ball. And once he gets his ball in his hand, being able to have good vision. You know, so he's not one of those one-trick ponies, you know, working on his route running, you know, and then and the consistency. So it's made him able to be successful. And not only be able to be a type of player that's just fast.
Yeah, you know, and with the special ability like that, when did you realize, not that he was just going to be a really good football player at the high school level, that this guy, you know, has what it takes to compete at Division I, you know, because some guys don't really know sometimes how talented they can actually be. And, college football is one level and then obviously the NFL is another, but when did that start becoming the conversation? Like, hey man, this can be your future.
Oh, well, we were younger. We played with D.B. Grew and Tony Perry, you know, me and Coach Mike Ware. We had a group of kids that are very talented. You know, and Xavier was always one of the younger ones, but always put him with the older kids, and he competed. You know, we had a lot of good, great talent on that team, like Trent Tompkins. Even Kendall Milton was on one of those teams we did. And Xavier Worthy was competing with the older kids. You know, he was a part of that. He was the youngest one, but he was holding his own. So I always tried to challenge him, and he continued to show that he can compete, and it just went all the way up. And when he got to high school, they just told him that he had to keep excelling and working hard, and he kept doing. He bought into the process, and it went from there.
You got a good Xavier Worthy story from high school. Is there a good one that kind of just showcases what kind of guy he is, aside from the stats, aside from what the plays they've seen? Like, what is a good story you got that just shows the Xavier, the person behind the pads?
Honestly, he's a quiet kid, you know. Him on the field and him outside of it is pretty chill and smooth. I say football tells a lot about him. You know, he's quiet. I say in our state championship playoff run, the game to go to the championship. You know, we all sat back and, you know, it's raining, it's quiet, and we're looking for a play to be made. We're like, they are not about to kick the ball to Xavier, you know. They kick the ball to him, and then he just electrifies the whole game and takes it to the house. I think that shows a lot about who he is, you know. And everything is low. He can bring excitement to a lot of things, his personality and with his game.
Yeah, the excitement and all that. And he got to Texas, right? And you were following his career as he was going through the Longhorns and became one of the most successful Texas wide receivers out there, right? 26 touchdown catches in his career. Did you see – I mean, what about his time at Texas made him even a better player as you watched him go through that program?
Well, it's been with, you know, it was the right fit. Right fit with Sark. So being able to be himself, honestly, you know, coming in as a freshman his first year, excelling that high. And, you know, he was a little hard on himself wanting to do better than he did his first year. And I just told him to be consistent and be himself. You know, and, you know, social media with all the hype and stuff. He just kept working on his craft and listened to his coach and bought into what they were telling him. And he just did what he had to do, you know, off the field and on the field. And all I could preach to him is be consistent and do what you know you've been doing your whole life. You know, and I think it was a great fit with the system he was in and with the coach he had.
How many times did he call you to pick your brain about some stuff? I'm sure it was, I mean, how often was he always talking to you about his maybe if he had a rough game? You know, how many times was he talking to you about his experience there and just making sure he was still doing the right things, you know, in Texas?
Well, he talked to him often. You know, sometimes it was good. Sometimes it was. I think I got him a little bit about, hey, man, you need to catch that ball or somebody pitch. You need to go do this and go do that. So I try not to, as it, you know, this time of day, it's a lot of social media. You hear a lot of the outside world saying things. So I try to keep it, honestly, outside of that because he hears it so much and try to change it to something different and not him having to hear the same thing all the time. You know, but try to pinpoint it and then go on to the next thing and just tell him to be consistent with himself and believe in himself and believe in his craft. You know, because some kids, you know, if you dwell on it and hearing it from you and hearing it from everyone else, it can get overwhelming. You know, so try to get more positive than critiquing and all that.
Yeah, he built off that. And, of course, what he did at the combine is something that not a lot of people could say they've done, right? 4-2-1. I mean, did you see that in him as far as that combine performance?
Yeah, well, we talked about it before, and since he started running track, in his time every year he has consistently improved on his time. So. But when he said it, I was just telling him, you know, I was making fun of him. Like, you break it. You make a run of 4-2-1. I'm going to run a 4-2-0. I always say I'm one step faster. But because he's been so consistent and he put in the work, for me, seeing it firsthand and knowing how he is and what he's been doing, I was like, okay, let's go get it, you know. And he's a kid that consistently did that. So it was very exciting, and I was very proud and excited for him to see that happen.
He's given so much back to the community too, right? And, you know, the hype around him, you know, where he could land, if it's today, if it's tomorrow. But it's about giving back to the community he's from, and I've seen some of that. What's rewarding about seeing a guy like that continue to give back to where he's from and his roots, despite, you know, all the attention around him?
Oh, that's good. You know, it gives inspiration and opportunity for kids who may never get the opportunity to see someone come from where they're from to live that dream, you know. And for him, he once was in their shoes here dreaming, hoping he can get to that point. So when some kids can see somebody like them from where they're from up close and personal, I think that's special, you know, and giving back to those and giving back to the city. You know, you'll be remembered for a long time instead of being someone who was this and didn't do anything. So those memories last forever. So I think he's doing the right things and he continues to do it. That's just the type of person he is.
He gave back to you as well, right? 98-inch TV. You know where you're putting that yet?
Yeah, I put it in the dining room. It's right here. I have to look at it right now. We'll be watching him walk across the stage, hopefully today. A 98-inch TCL, like a big wide screen. I'm over here in the movie theater. So it's pretty huge, you know. I got a 75 in the living room. I thought that was big. They 98 makes that look like a 42.
Hey, he's going to be crystal clear wherever he's going to go. You're not going to miss that. But, you know, he calls you a father figure. What does that mean to you to hear him call you that, as far as not just coach, but a father figure to him and his development?
He's blessed. It's a blessing, you know. And I think he helped me a lot. As much as I helped him, I was, you know, when we first met, I was young. I was in college, you know, and he helped me as I helped him. He taught me a lot going through the whole process of me being a coach, you know. I got to go through a lot of things with him, the good, the bad, the struggle, learning, you know, and going along the ride together, you know, him and his mom. We all learned a lot from the beginning and trying to do the right thing. So being able to guide him and him, listening to my opinion and listening to what he had to do, we all thought it through and talked about it a lot, you know, because there were some things that you wait for, say, like, why are these kids doing this? Why are these kids doing that? Not me. Like, you have the talent. You have the skill. Just him being patient, you know, and listening to the guidance of me having that opinion with his mom, you know. So I'm just glad I was able to be a part of that. And I'm just glad that he followed the lead of his mom. And it's good. So, like, a lot of kids should be the same, you know, follow the lead of their parents, that lead them to the right way. And honestly, history repeats itself, I always say. History repeats itself. So look into what happened before you and take the good with the bad and go from there.
Did you see yourself a little bit in him when you were watching him kind of grow up? Did you see yourself a little bit in him?
Yeah, I think I wore off him a lot. You know, I'm very competitive, you know, very, very competitive. So I'm always trying to put the competitive edge in him. Like I told you, at a young age, he always played up with older people. And I told him to compete, you know, always try to have him compete. Win, lose, or draw, you got to keep going. You know, you're going to lose some, you know, and you just learn from it. You know, like from the beginning, when we were in when he was younger, we were doing cross country. There was one kid that kept beating like two races in a row. And I just told him, we went back to the drawing board. And I was like, look, we strategize. You know, he looks, but we're going to get him. And then the semifinals, right before we went to the city finals at Woodward Park, I just told him to stay with him. And at the end, you know, you just sprint. And I guarantee you he'll give up. So he followed that. He competed. And he won, and he went to the city championships and won that also. But I think that I try to put a lot of that competitive edge in him, make him hungry, but be humble. I always say, you know, respect the game and compete hard.
What do you think he's thinking right now as we are approaching just under an hour or just over an hour until the first round begins? What do you think's going through his head?
Honestly, who is he going to go to? You know what I'm saying? You know, I think that's probably some of the most nervous part is which team you're going to be, where you're going to be, what type of environment. You know, every team has a different environment, different place, cold, hot, you know what I'm saying? There's a fast, slow type area. So I think that's something that he's thinking about. And for me, I think it would be like, I'm happy I'm here, but I want to get started. You know what I'm saying? I want to know where I'm going to be at so I can get to work and be ready and be an option for whichever team I go to. It's the nerves and excitement at the same time.
Do you think you're as nervous as he is?
Nah, not really. I think he's there. It's him immediately. You know, me, I just want him to go to a place that give him that option, give that opportunity to be him. You know what I'm saying? And it's always nerve-wracking. And if you go to a place that's harder than that, like being in a cold place, that's tough, you know.
Yeah.
But I think he's humble enough to adjust and make it do wherever he's at.
You got a prediction tonight? I'll ask you real quick before we get around. You got a prediction where he might go?
I would like it's cold up there, but the Bills or the Niners, I say, You know, they got the Bills. Stephon Diggs gone. You know, but it'd be good. He goes to like the Niners or his close.
Yeah, I don't know if Josh Allen can outthrow him. We'll see with his speed.
No, yeah, the Valley Connection.
There you go. Yeah, that'd be great, that Valley Connection. A lot of people beat Bills fans, you know, paying attention there. I saw him walk back to the Niners as well. I mean, that offense with him in there, oh, my gosh.
I just know I got to root for another team because I told him I hope he goes to – I'm a Broncos fan. Go to the Broncos at 12. We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see.
I'll be wearing two jerseys next year.
You'll get plenty of jerseys, I'm sure, from him at least, so it'll be good. Hey, Chris, I appreciate you joining me. I want to thank you for being on the program, and, hey, have fun tonight watching the draft.
Thank you. Appreciate the opportunity.
All right, that's Chris Maxey, Central football coach on Home Field Advantage. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back to start the next hour. You're listening to 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader.
You're listening to the home of the San Francisco Giants, KFIG Fresno, 1430 ESPN.
Brock Bowers. Brock Bowers is a George Kittle clone.
Malik Nabers with the catch. Touchdown, LSU.
When I get the ball in my hands, I'm able to do tremendous things with it.
To a Home Field Advantage. You're listening here live from Fashion Furniture. Phil Benatti here, coming to you from a Thursday afternoon draft day. Live from Fashion Furniture. I just want to remind you, since 1960, Fresno's largest locally family-owned furniture store. They're steps away from Fresno's premium mattress store, Sleep Retreat. You know, I got brands like Tempur-Pedic and Stearns and Foster. You know, and just come by, say hi. We got pizza. We got some Bulldog baseball tickets here. But also, they'll take care of you and your family, whether it's a need for a mattress, you got that adjustable base, or the premium furniture from Flex Steel, Omnia, or Jonathan Lewis. Of course, a wonderful day to enjoy some sports talk here, and always good to be down here. That conversation with Chris Maxey was really awesome. I'm glad he was able to hop on right before the draft, talk about Xavier Worthy. I want to bring in Jorge real quick. And, yeah, Jorge, my producer here, and, love that conversation, you know, talking about how Xavier's feeling and whatnot. And, I know he was a stud player for the Central program, and it was just great to get his mindset as we're now less than an hour from the first round starting.
Yeah, it's got to be nervous, right? is there some nervousness? I mean, I feel nervous. Heck, I want to start already. See what's going to happen.
He's certainly the flashiest prospect, you know, like the speed. I think of, like, you know, the Al Davis Raiders. They're always about the speed guys, and he feels very Al Davis to me.
Oh, he would have gone straight to the Raiders this year.
Oh, my God. They wouldn't have waited. They
Al Davis.
If Al Davis was still alive, that's right there, right? You got a 98-inch TV. Oh, my God. I can't even imagine how big a 98-inch TV is.
That's nice, man. It's really good of him that he's going to come back. Comes back to his community and helps out, you know, and that is just showing the type of person that this community creates, and it's just, you know, a sentiment to the coaches and everybody that's in the community helping out and making this young people into great athletes and better persons.
Yeah, certainly. helps the other younger guys kind of see what the example is set. Of course, I don't want to shortchange Kendall Milton here as well. He was over the past weekend, right, running a kid. I know Todd Gurley was here, and so that was a whole awesome thing to see, you know, for some of the local players. But, I mean, the kids soak that in, right? And so the next Xavier Worthies, the next Kendall Miltons can go out and do what they're doing and give back. It's so good to see the community really, you know, building off of each other with this. And Xavier Worthy, he's an all-time good guy, and hopefully can be an all-time wide receiver in the NFL.
I think he's got a talent, and you know, he's definitely got the mentality, so hopefully he can.
Yeah, we'll see where he goes. The whole draft and the way the first round will go, things will be interesting. Who knows where his name's going to be called? Coach was talking about the Buffalo Bills, maybe, and that I didn't even consider that. But like thinking about Josh Allen throwing to Xavier Worthy, that sounds incredible.
Yeah, they need a wide receiver now, right? They need somebody to come in and especially make an impact right away, because their best receiver left. So now they got to go back and look for someone, and there's a few of them, you know, like I said before, Marvin Harrison Jr. or Jerry Rice's son. I keep forgetting his name. those are two big receivers that are out there.
Yeah, it's so deep, and you really could flip a coin on a lot of these guys, and we'll see how it goes. But the draft tonight. I want to remind our listeners that we will be over at Blast and Brews on Palm and Herndon in less than an hour. We'll be there at 5 o'clock. We will be there for the first pick overall, presumably going to be Caleb Williams. Of course, you can also listen there up until first pitch of the Grizzlies. The Grizzlies are on our channel tonight. First pitch at 6:50 right here on 1430. Of course, if you're looking for A's and Lakers tonight, A's starting right about now. First pitch in New York, their final game, looking to split the series against the New York Yankees. And then the Lakers at around 7 o'clock or so. The Lakers will be maybe on the brink of elimination here. We'll see. That one tipping off at 7 against the Denver Nuggets after that heartbreaking loss in Game 2. It's a nice segue into a little bit of Laker talk as we go into it. Do or die Game 3. A little bit of time to reflect off of that Game 2 loss where Denver barely led the entire game, and now we see the Lakers try to lick their wounds a little bit after giving up the buzzer beater to lose 101-99. Do or die Game 3, Jorge. The Lakers have to win this. No team has come back, I believe, from down 3-0. So there's no question of this being a must-win game. We talked about the bench deficiencies with the Lakers. I believe they scored only 11 in Game 1. They scored only 6 in Game 2. I'm asking, like, where's Gabe Vincent been? Like, this guy was a phenomenal player on the run for Miami when they went to the finals. So where are the Lakers getting some help tonight? Because they got to have it tonight at Crypto.com Arena.
Not really sure where it's going to come from, but they need some help. They definitely do, because LeBron and AD can't just carry the whole team by themselves anymore. Maybe D'Angelo Russell could have a great night. If he does, then that will definitely help out. But I don't know. They need to find something to you know, keep the hopes alive.
Keep the hopes alive. Keep the hopes alive for sure. You know, D'Angelo Russell having maybe his best game against the Nuggets when it comes to the playoffs over the last couple years, 23 points, and it was 7 from 11 from three-point range. The Lakers outshot Denver from three-point range. They shot a lot of good threes. They hit a lot of good shots. It just seems like the altitude maybe got to them a little bit. It seems like, you know, things were, you know, spinning out of control at the end of that game, for sure. But, D'Angelo Russell with his history against the Nuggets. It's encouraging to see it, but like the consistency, it's so hard to be consistent sometimes, especially when you're trying to bottle in a performance like that on the road a couple days ago. Do you feel like the Lakers have the winning formula and they just need to go out and execute, or is there a drastic change that needs to be made to their game plan coming into tonight?
I don't think there needs to be a drastic change. They just have to have more help, especially coming off the bench. There's no reason for them to just score 6 points off the bench. That's horrible. That's unexcusable. They need to have more help from there, and that will alleviate, you know, that will take off some of the burden from AD and from LeBron.
Mm-hmm. AD needing to stay out of foul trouble. He got up to 5 fouls, was almost fouled out in there. You know, Spencer Dinwiddie, I think he's only shot 1 shot this entire series. So Laker fans, I'm sure, are looking for any sort of answers at home. But I also say it's tough to see benches travel when you're in the NBA playoffs. We'll see if the Lakers end up being the better team at home. Home teams, I believe, in the NBA playoffs so far, I think they've only lost twice out of all those games. But do or die game tonight. You want to avoid going down 3-0. And then, you know, the impossible could happen if you want to come back from this, but this is a long road ahead for the Lakers when it comes to wanting to stick around in this playoffs. Is this my question? Is a drastic change needed if this Laker team fails to get out of this round? If they just can't beat Denver, who is the benchmark of the NBA right now when it comes to the talent of what a team looks like, does there need to be a drastic change with how things are being run in Los Angeles, as far as maybe looking at the roster again, looking overhaul of what needs to be done? It just feels like we're running against the wall if you're a Lakers fan. When it comes to, if you're just not going to be able to beat Denver, then what is the point of what we're doing here with this roster?
I don't know if there needs to be an overhaul completely, but there's definitely need of a third man. Someone that could be out there consistently helping out, you know, maybe defense, or I don't know. But they definitely need something else to go out and perform better, especially in the playoffs.
Yeah, I don't know what names could be out there for the Lakers to go after. I've heard Trae Young's name ripped around. It'd be very wildly entertaining team if Trae Young could seem to be available. If the Lakers want to mortgage some capital there, we'll see. But of course, a lot needs to happen before we even get into off-season talk with the Lakers. Yeah, it's NBA playoffs heating up a little bit. Speaking of that, you know, the Heat getting a win last night against Boston, you know, things are starting to turn a little bit for the playoffs, and it should be fun down the road. And like I said, Lakers tonight will be after the Oakland A's when they wrap up their game in New York, their final game of the series there. So a lot to get to there. We'll probably react for sure. Tomorrow I'll be on High Noon from 12 to 2, and we'll react a lot more to that game, including a lot more to the NFL draft ahead. But, we'll get to those topics a little bit. We'll set you up for the draft a little bit later here in the show. Let's just take a quick break. You're listening to 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader. Welcome back to Home Field Advantage here on a Thursday, live from Fashion Furniture, as always on a Thursday, and we're gearing you up for a big sports day. Of course, NFL draft coming up in a little bit. A first round coverage starting at 5 o'clock right here on 1430 ESPN Fresno. We'll be live from Blast and Brews over on Palm and Herndon, so come on down over there after being here at Fashion Furniture. And, yeah, it should be a lot of fun dissecting what is going down in the NFL, NFL airwaves. Should be a lot of fun. Some other things to get to. We touched on, some predictions for the draft. We did touch on some prep baseball results from the night before. I want to thank Chris Maxey for coming on and talking about Xavier Worthy and his experience as he gets ready for the draft. And then we were talking about the Lakers in the last segment about where they're going to be going into their game tonight as well. It's a big game there. But I did end up going to a Fresno State baseball game on Tuesday. And for those who did not know the result, it was not one in favor of the Bulldogs, not by the least. It was a 15-2 drubbing against CSUN on Tuesday night. Now, I talked to Gabe, Gabe Carey on Tuesday. He told me, you know, Bulldogs struggle on those midweek afternoon games, and it seems to be a continuing trend with that Bulldog team. But, you know, it was good to be back in the ballpark again. Had been there in about 10 years. Really enjoyed my time last time I was there. I just wish it was a better result. The pitching, once again, struggling there, giving up, I thought it was 4 home runs in that one. Bulldogs had a few good opportunities to maybe bounce back into it, but when you get down 13-1, when you get down 11-0, it is pretty tough to win a ball game. So Bulldogs just need to get off to a better start when they're playing. Maybe getting out of Pete Biden Field, Bob Bennett Stadium. Maybe getting out of there, getting on the road. The road trip could cure all. The Bulldogs will look to do that this weekend. They're taking on Washington State in a non-conference matchup. Soon we will be able to say that it is a conference matchup, with Washington State joining the conference, and I believe baseball and swimming, and who knows what more maybe down the road. But the Bulldogs back in action, 3-game series starting on Friday. Speaking of Bulldog baseball, we do have some baseball tickets out there available if you want to come see the Dogs. Maybe they're going to turn it around. We'll see if they get hot down the stretch as we turn the calendar towards May. Got some tickets to see them take on the Roadrunners of the CSU Bakersfield. So if you want to go out to the ballpark, enjoy yourself there at Bob Bennett Stadium. I got some tickets there for that matchup as well. So come on down, grab a few, enjoy your time watching Fresno State battle on the diamond. Other Fresno State news that came over the past couple hours. The basketball team, hey, we're adding some pieces here. This is, the Vance Wahlberg era starting a couple weeks ago. The new face from Clovis West, but the old name as far as the area is concerned. People know Vance from all kinds of, his different experiences in the Central Valley, but good to see what he's doing with Fresno State. Of course, announced a couple days ago back on, Monday, we had a commitment from JUCO, Alex Crawford, deciding to go to Fresno State, the forward. 6'8 forward, listed at 215, but a good player down at San Diego City College this past year. You know, a 15-point scorer there, but, an all-state player when it came to the CCC MBCA. And he has 2 years of eligibility left, but, of course, not just him, but, another ginormous name from the JUCO pool coming to Fresno State as well, and that is looking up his name here, Amar Aguiard, we're gonna remember his name down the stretch here if he plays like he did over at Triton College this past year. NJCAA Division I Player of the Year. Hey, can't get much better than that to get that kind of guy on your roster. Amar Aguiard, now a Bulldog, committing on Twitter just today in the mid morning, but talk about a guy who's got a little bit of burst to him. He's a 6'5 guard, but, almost 23 points per game. Also can rebound the ball from the guard position. And, hey, you can shoot some threes as well. And if you're in those run-and-gun transitions, Vance Wahlberg, a coach that wants to pick up the pace a little bit on offense, exciting kind of players to look for. This Aguiar guy seems to be one of the guys that can ignite an offense and can ignite a fan base into, you know, wanting to love the Bulldogs again on the basketball court. So looking forward to seeing what he does with the program. He also has 2 years of eligibility left. And, hey, he chose the Dogs over teams like Creighton, you know, a perpetual, contender in like Creighton. And then Illinois was there making some noise down the stretch in the NCAA tournament. He also chose it over ASU and other teams like USF. But a couple of big-time names when it comes to some JUCO talent coming to the Fresno State Bulldogs. You know, Jorge, you know, this program's looking for a little ignition, this basketball program looking for a little juice. And when I describe these two players to you, it seems like Fresno State's getting some guys that can really make this program something that is exciting to root for again. When I kind of just describe what we're getting with these two guys.
Yeah, Coach Walber started off, you know, right away working and getting calls and talking to people and started recruiting. And that's awesome, and that is awesome to see, because that's, you know, you need more talent in this team, and you need it more because some people left. And so why not start now and getting these players who are, you know, JUCO players that are, you know, they're not freshmen or anything, so they got the experience already of playing in a bigger league, and they're gonna come in and they're gonna most likely add a good minutes to the team.
Yeah, hearing Jackson Moore on the Sportsline Bulldog Hour, Tony D, right before us, you know, Jackson is talking about these are kind of the guys they were really looking at, and Vance is hitting on these guys, and that's encouraging to know that we're not striking out a lot on some of the guys that we're going after. It seems like Vance is selling this program pretty well already, and that just in itself, a good batting percentage when it comes to recruiting guys, that seems encouraging to me when it comes to a basketball program, right? Or, hey, the basketball program, I don't know if you heard me, but,
good. When you know, sometimes you press the wrong button and it's
You're good. Yeah, but a guy who's getting the guys he wants right away, that's an encouraging sign, you know, not just it seems like he's not the old high school coach that maybe has lost it a little bit and is off the recruiting trail. He seems to be getting the guys he wants, and that's important.
Yeah, Tony, you said this before, that Coach Walbers, this is like his lifelong ambition, and this is his last opportunity and probably only opportunity. So he's going to make it count. He's going to work from the first day till the very last day he's there. And I'm sure he wants to make an impact right away.
Absolutely. And there's still plenty of roster spots to fill with this basketball program. But I'm already, you know, licking my chops as far as what Fresno State basketball can be and what they can do on the court. And I'm encouraged, guardedly, I guess you could say, though. Of course, I think that's what every fan feels like. You want to have guys that want to be there. And I think of JUCO guys. I covered JUCO guys back when I was in North Dakota. These guys are absolutely driven. They're not handed much as far as grinding out, their basketball careers. These guys are hungry. They're going to want to work. They're going to want to be, they're going to be motivated to do what the little things that they need to do. And I think that's a fantastic pool to draw from. Even if you don't have the eligibility, like a guy right out of high school, JUCO guys, you can't overlook these guys. And I think that is maybe the most important thing of this whole recruiting process, is that we're getting guys that are absolutely hungry and driven. And I think it can translate on the basketball court. I mean, Jorge, that feels like something that's tangible that can make Fresno State have an identity of a group of guys that want to work and want to put in the work, who have been in the battles of junior college.
Definitely, definitely. This team needed a makeover, and I think it's happening. I think that everything is going the right way so far. And for my count, like, I think they picked the right coach to do what they needed to be done a few years ago. And, you know, hopefully the red wave comes out and supports this team when they are out there. And we'll get back to being, you know, that those, you know, those teams from the Turk era, you know?
Yeah, the Turk era, of course. And, I'm going to already imagine that we're going to be starting to fill the Save Mart Center a lot more than what we used to. And it's just extremely exciting to see guys that are going to be doing that. All right, well, we're just a little over a half hour before the NFL draft. We're going to head over to Blast and Brews in a little bit. Still have some show left here at Fashion Furniture. We'll take a break, and we'll be right back on 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader. Welcome back to Home Field Advantage here, Phil Benatti on the call today from Fashion Furniture live on a Thursday. Always appreciative of the host here at Fashion Furniture. I want to remind you of the lineup coming up always on 1430 ESPN Fresno. Of course, tonight a busy night on our airwaves with the draft reaction over at Blast and Brews. Palm and Herndon will be over there at 5 o'clock. And then at 7 o'clock, or around 6:50, the first pitch of the Grizzlies will be on our airwaves as well. So if you want to listen to some Fresno Grizzlies baseball, should be a lot of fun out there at Chancey Park. We got Austin Emmer looking to continue the great pitching ways of the Grizzlies. Starting pitchers, 2.7 ERA this season. How about 0.00 ERA this series against San Jose? The pitching has been lights out when it comes to the Fresno Grizzlies. And, hey, I got a good guest coming in the next segment to talk about the Grizzlies. My dad will be on to chat. It was his first appearance on the program, so it'll be exciting to talk to him about Grizzlies baseball. He does a fun job out there. And then, of course, talk a little draft as well as we lead up into the NFL draft. As a reminder, just throughout the week, of course, always at 2 o'clock, Sportsline Bulldog Hour with Tony D. That'll be at 2 to 3 every day. Home Field Advantage right now on Thursdays. I'm here right now on it, but always Thursdays from Fashion Furniture. Of course, on Saturday, you got the Central Valley Sports Report with Paul Metters. That from 10 in the morning to noon there as well. And then Inside the Patch should be a thrilling Inside the Patch to react to what the Raiders do in the first round. That one on Fridays as well with Gnarly Charlie. So just saw an interesting report about the draft. Here we go. These are the reports going on. It appears that at the third overall pick, the Patriots will be standing by that pick. They will not be trading. So most likely people believe in league, this according to Tom Pelissero, believing that this will most likely be quarterback Drake May out of North Carolina. So the belief around the league appears to be quarterback to start this draft. So with this, less and less opportunity to see some trade partners here as we get closer to the top of the draft. I know some teams have been wanting to move up to get to these quarterback spots, but right now it seems a little cagey, and now the Patriots feel like they have their guy. So I'll bring in Jorge here. Now that you hear that the Patriots appear to not be trading their third overall pick, seems like the options to move up now for the Raiders is slimmer and slimmer. What do you make of that news, and do you think we're going to get a Raiders trade somewhere in this top part of the draft, whether it's the Giants or the Chargers? Are we running out of options if you're a Raider fan?
Yeah, I really don't see them moving up. I think that was one of their biggest one of the biggest steps to make, but I don't see it. I think they're just going to stay with what they have, and they're going to go ahead and pick a good wide receiver that's out there.
They need some help on that offensive side, those weapons. You know, the Davante Adams needs some help there and not be the main focal guy. You know, Davante came out recently and said he's committed. He's committed to Vegas. As much as people want to say Vegas did him dirty by trading away Derek, and we didn't get quite the opportunity we did to kind of relive our 2013 glory days of the Bulldogs. It seems like, it seems like Davante is committed to Vegas, which is an encouraging sign if you're a Vegas fan. They just need to get him some help, right?
Definitely. They got to give him something, whether it's a wide receiver or someone in the office that could, make some good plays, or even a lineman that could help out their quarterback a little bit. And even that quarterback situation is still kind of rough, but, they have what they have. And I think if they could get some weapons around, offensive weapons around, then they should be good. Because I think their defense is pretty solid, to be honest.
Yeah, their defense is one of the best. It's the last defense to stymie Kansas City. It was the last one to beat them. Nobody else could say they did that to Kansas City, and Vegas was able to do it. They only got better on the defensive line with Christian Wilkins showing up, and one of the best acquisitions I think of the offseason for anybody. I'm gonna go. My prediction is we will see Penix go to the Raiders. Michael Penix go to the Raiders. I think that's where he'll land. I think for all the excitement and whatnot around the draft, I think he'll fall to 13. I think things are going to be a little more chalk than usual. Jorge, what say you about who you think the Raiders are they going to go? You mentioned the wide receiver. Are you thinking like a Rome Odunze kind of guy, or do you think they go Al Davis to go Xavier Worthy and just go crazy on that and see if they go for the speedster?
Yeah, I think they were going to go for the speedster or a lineman, one of the two. Either they're going to get a weapon out there or a lineman. I can see why people think that they could go for a quarterback, but I don't know. I feel like the coach feels he's got something with the people that he's got already. But, maybe an offensive tackle or I don't know, a good receiver.
We'll see. I don't know. Like, when you see three quarterbacks go by, do teams start to panic a little bit? I'm like, are we not going to have our guy there? Are we going to have a panic trade at some point? Who's going to be the team that panic trades a little bit? Now, with this Patriot news of not wanting to trade, it seems that has been made clear. We'll see if teams start to panic a little bit of if we start losing our guys, we press a little bit and make a trade that maybe they aren't wanting to. So, I think teams are going to be a little more cagey as we go through here, and we'll see how it goes. Of course, you can watch it all happen live when we go to Blast and Brews over on Palm and Herndon. We'll be over there at the top of the hour. We got some giveaways out there as well, some tickets to some of your favorite teams if you want to get away over the weekend. We got some boxing tickets as well. That's going to be a big fight down there at the Save Mart Center this Saturday. So if you're interested in that, you can have an opportunity to go there and get tickets for that event. So it should be a lot of fun over there. So, yeah, good show planned over there. I'm very excited. I'm very fired up. I'm very, looking forward to seeing what things play out over there in Detroit. I mean, we have been talking about it for weeks now. I think we're just ready to have it get over, done and over with. There's been so much preamble about this draft. I haven't heard this much draft talk in so many years about this one. So much Raiders talk, so much Niners talk, so much Chargers, Rams. The Rams wanting to trade up. That's been reported over the last few hours. Who knows what is going to happen over the next few hours. But, Jorge, are you just glad to see this get done, I'm sure. You're just ready to go.
Yeah, I'm ready. You know what? It feels like the beginning of the football season, the beginning of the preseason, kind of, because after this, things start getting a little bit like, it's the end of basketball, the end of hockey, and all you have is baseball. But in reality, football is just getting started right now with this draft, and then you see who gets picked and where they go, and all of a sudden you're like thinking, oh, we got a great team and we're gonna win the Super Bowl this year, you know? So I feel like this is like the beginning of the football season.
It's a great time to daydream, especially after these next few days. We're going to be daydreaming as football fans of what can be when it comes to those, off-season trading. Then we're going to be in August, and we're going to be in, we're going to be in preseason, and then soon enough we're going to be off and running for the NFL season. It just comes so fast when it comes to the NFL season. Tonight, maybe the most optimistic point of the season for any fan, and we're looking forward to breaking it down over at Blast and Bruise. So, got a great guest to close out the show. Hey, my father's going to come on, and we'll chat with him, and looking forward to that. So, we'll have him on. We'll take a quick break. You're listening to 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader. To home field advantage, Bill Bonatti here taking you up to our draft party at Blast and Brew, and that one getting around at 5 o'clock, so I got to get rolling here, but got a very special guest to close out the show today. It's my very own father, Roy Bonatti, Kevin as well. You know, you can go by both names. I know some people know you by both names, but Dad, it's good to have you on air for the first time, hopefully of many.
Well, it's great to be here.
Yeah, no, good to have you on, and I know you're getting busy. You probably got a Grizzly game to get to in a little bit here, but we're going to talk a little draft as well. I know it's been a tumultuous time for us Patriot fans. I'm sure a lot of people, have a lot of opinions about the Patriots over the last 20-something years with the amount of Raider fans we have living here and whatnot. But getting started here. I know this was a little bit of a fast ramp up of moving back to Fresno. It's good to be back and good to be with you guys. And I'm sure you're glad to have me home finally. I know it's been a while since I've been home. Like last 8 years, I was out and about in the middle of the country.
Yeah, you were quite far away, and Mom's really happy to have you home, as am I.
Yeah, mom happy until she sees some of the lunch bills or something like that, when she starts seeing the food bills.
Right? Yeah.
we'll get into the draft in a little bit, but I want to talk Grizzlies a little bit, because you've worked with them for the last 5 years, Datacaster, right? And I don't think a lot of people know about that job, and I didn't even know quite much about it when you got started. So, tell me about kind of the role there and what that is and what you do for the Grizzlies.
Yeah, I didn't know much about it either until I started doing it. So a Datacaster, basically, if you're watching the game on your phone or on the computer on the internet, and you see the pitch by pitch, play by play action going on, I'm the one that's entering all that information. So I have to be there for every pitch, every foul ball, and every controversial play, and enter it into the computer.
Yeah, it's a whole process, right? And you got the official score there, and there's a lot of communication. It can be a lot of moving parts when it comes to in the middle of a baseball game, right?
Yes. Official score, as you said, and we discuss plays. He has the final choice on whether it's a hit, error, or whatever. And I'm also in contact with Major League Baseball headquarters in New York, making sure that everything is entered correctly.
Yeah, I kind of joke, this job feels a little bit kind of right in your expertise, because, back in the day, you're an air traffic controller, a lot of communication between guys like that, so a lot of input of data. This seemed right up your alley, kind of with what you were doing previously as an air traffic controller.
That's true, and there can be a little bit of pressure entering everything correctly, but it's not pressure I haven't been experienced before in my previous career.
Yeah, I know maybe some people don't know quite how involved air traffic control could be, and I could talk hours about that, what has been the most rewarding part about being part of the Grizzlies right now and just kind of doing this, kind of in semi-retirement from air traffic control, for the last, 10, 12 years now?
Yes, Well, yeah, I love baseball, as you know. So just being able to go to the games is fun as it is, and actually working and watching the players grow. You know, we have Ezekiel Tovar, starting shortstop for the Colorado Rockies. He was in Fresno just 2 years ago. So that's a lot of fun, too.
Yeah, and the baseball team's good. You're watching a lot of good baseball. I'm sure that's a lot of fun, just seeing the good team. And they've been playing well as of late. Two shutouts in a row now. It's been fun watching them play.
Yes, it has been. They've been very good the last few years. Basically, every year I've been there, they've been contending every year.
Maybe you're the good luck charm, right?
Maybe, yeah.
You were telling me last night you heard something about like a reward system for the Grizzlies. I got to ask Johnny Bravo when he next comes on. But you were telling me the players are playing for ice cream. Explain that a little bit. What you were hearing about that?
Yeah, well, Stephen Rice, the play-by-play man, has said that the team is very motivated by ice cream. So much so that the manager. Mr. Solis.
Yeah, Steve Solis, yeah.
Steve Solis, he has come up with a system. If they throw a shutout, then the pitchers get ice cream after the game. And if the team gets 15 hits, the batters will get the ice cream.
Yeah, so far the pitchers are winning the tally so far, right?
Yeah, they're getting a lot of ice cream.
we'll see if the hitters can pick it up today or tomorrow or, you know, the rest of the season. But I know Grizzlies, what, first pitch tonight, 6:45? I got to remember.
6:50, actually.
6:50, that's yeah. Right, yeah. So another game against the Giants. And then, firework night tomorrow night as well for Friday. But yeah, it's been a lot of fun seeing this team play well, and they finally won without me. I know the last homestand I was there, they were 2-0, and then they were 0-2 when I wasn't there. But they seem to find their winning ways without me in the press box.
That's true. They've only got 3 losses this year. Are they 12-3 now?
Yeah, 12-3. Yeah. So
Modesto's right on their tail.
Yeah. So I don't know when they play them, but I know it's down the road a little bit. I think they have Lake Elsinore next or something like that on their schedule on the road. So. I wanted to bring you in because we're, you know, the NFL draft tonight, and I know you've watched football for so many years, a big Patriot fan, and when you think of the time around the NFL draft, I know it was a little different with the Belichick era, but even before then, these really bad Patriot teams, right? These really rough Patriot teams you were kind of growing up with. What was it like always around kind of draft season? Because it wasn't televised when you kind of were first paying attention, right?
No, it wasn't. And back then, the Patriots always had the first or second pick in the draft, going back to like Jim Plunkett and and Kenneth Sims out of Texas, you know, who didn't work out. But lately, last 20 years, we've been picking in the very end of the draft, which you can't ask for more than that.
I know the Niner fans are kind of dealing with it right now, right? Yeah, this is kind of the new picking at the tail end. They wish they had a few more Super Bowl titles like the Patriots did when they were picking at that time, right? But yeah, no, it's when you think of the NFL draft, what are some memories like, some of these players that you were like really excited for when they were picked for the Patriots? Who were some guys you were like, this is going to be really fun to watch and see how they perform when they put on a Patriot uniform?
Oh, I don't know. I'm thinking back to like Dante Hightower out of Alabama, yeah. And how great he turned out to be. Mm-hmm. Richard Seymour out of USC.
Yeah.
Both probably Hall of Famers, we've had some bad drafts lately.
Oh, yeah.
Like the wide receiver from Arizona State.
N'Keal Harry, that was tough.
That one really hurt.
Yeah.
But third pick in the draft tonight, that's going to be very exciting. It's been a long time.
Who knows what they're going to do? Do you want them to trade it? Do you want them to pick a guy later? Do you want the quarterback right away? Like, I know the Raiders are a team that wants to trade up into that spot because I know they're not getting anything to budge with Washington. But are you wanting that pick traded away, or do you want them to take the guy right there?
Well, I think if Jaden Daniels is still available, I want them to take him. If not, then trade out.
Yeah, I know it's gonna be tough. I know the Commanders kind of want him, but if they somehow don't get him, then Jaden Daniels right there. I mean, I think that's a can't miss pick for the Patriots. But it's gonna be a lot of fun tonight. I know we're gonna have live reaction at Blast and Brews here in a little bit, so looking forward to those couple hours. And of course, it's gonna be a lot of fun down there. When you when do you remember watching the draft for the first time? Do you remember when that kind of popped on TV? I know it got popular in the 80s, right? When they started televising thing. When do you remember starting watching the draft, instead of just hearing about it in the newspaper the next day?
In the 80s. I remember there was one draft where there was Patriots were up next, and big defensive tackle from Miami. I can't think of his name, Hall of Famer.
I'd have to look it up, but
He was still available. There was some doubts about him, and I'm like, all right, the Patriots are going to take him, but they didn't take him, and then he got drafted next, and he's a Hall of Famer.
Mm. Yeah, the near misses, right? That's what it's all about.
Yeah.
I think of the time when Lamar Jackson was there. They decided to go with Sony Michel. Now, Sony Michel scored maybe the one touchdown in that game against the Rams and won the Super Bowl, but I think you'd rather have Lamar Jackson there.
Yeah.
If you're thinking about the other teams and the Raider fans have been through it for many years. You've been around Raider culture living here in California for the last few years. I'm sure you have some buddies who are Raider fans, right?
Oh, yeah.
And, do you feel for them for how they've suffered over the last 20 something years?
Yeah. Like you said, I had a lot of friends that are Raider fans, and it's been rough for them. Yeah. Hopefully they'll get a good pick this year.
Mm hmm. Yeah, we'll see what they do. And then the Niners, such an up and down time when I've kind of grown up, watching them and what they're doing, with their situation, with Ayuk, I know I kind of personally want Ayuk on the Patriots, so I know Niner fans are not wanting to hear that as far as a trade, but, do you feel like they have to trade him right now, or do you feel like the Niners, should figure it out down the road and hope that they kind of finalize a deal? I know, money makes everything move nowadays in the NFL.
Yeah, you're exactly right. I think they're going to have to trade him because they got a lot of money on the books as it is. And I think they should just draft the best player available except for a quarterback. They don't need a quarterback.
No. Yeah, they're good with Purdy, right? Yeah,
right.
And he's been great, and they're paying him pennies compared to everybody else, so that's kind of where they're in a perfect situation. I know I've seen mock drafts, see the local guy, Xavier Worthy, potentially going to the Niners at the tail of the first half. That'd be pretty awesome for the local area to see him potentially go to the Niners. Yeah. So, go ahead.
And the wide receiver from Washington, what was his name, Jalen?
Jalen, was it McMillan, I think, McWilliams or something like that?
Yeah,
he's a good player as well. There's so many good wide receivers. I know the Patriots are struggling to have any kind of playmakers. Juju Smith-Schuster, not the guy, right? I don't think he's going to be a number one for the Patriots. There's so many opportunities for teams to improve, especially on the offensive end. I think I looked this up. This could be the first draft where there's no defensive players picked in the first 10 ever. With all the offensive craziness, have you thought of a draft where you're like, this is as crazy as it's been as far as quarterbacks and wide receivers and what drives the NFL?
Yeah, I know. There's a lot of great defensive players that are available, and they're saying maybe Atlanta might take one, number 8. Mm-hmm. And also, you still always see offensive linemen picked in the top 10, a couple of them, and now it looks like maybe just one.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a strange draft.
Does it remind you of like the Elway draft, right? When all those guys were going, Elway, Marino, all those guys. Are we kind of in that territory with how these quarterbacks are being picked apart and just the wealth of those quarterbacks? I mean, take me back a little bit to that era, because I imagine it was kind of a whirlwind back then of who was going to go where.
Yeah, that draft with Elway and Marino, the Patriots took Tony Eason.
Yeah, that's right.
So that was another first-round draft quarterback. He was okay.
Did he end up starting a Super Bowl, right? Or was that?
No, he started.
Yeah.
It was Grogan was the backup.
The Bears Super Bowl was pretty rough, though.
But then you got 2 years ago with the Mac Williams and all those five quarterbacks, and only one, Jacksonville quarterback has made it. Trevor Lawrence.
You're talking Trevor Lawrence. Yeah, you're talking, what we just saw, Zach Wilson get traded. Mac Jones is now in Jacksonville. So that whole, there was a lot of hype around that one. And then where we are now, I think only Trevor Lawrence still on the same team. But I know you're going to be watching from the press box, before the game.
Yeah.
So yeah, you'll be locked in a little bit. At least you'll get to see the Patriots pick. I'm sure you're happy about that at least, right?
Yeah, that's for sure, before the game starts. I'd love to be at Blaston Brew. I love the food there, and it'd be great to see your show going on there.
Yeah, no, it's going to be a lot of fun. People should come down, hang out. We're going there for, live from 5 to 7. We'll do a little bit of reaction here and there. We'll pop in, but it'll be a good time. We'll be handing out some tickets as well to some local sports teams. I know I've seen some Giants tickets potentially, some A's tickets out there as well, Fresno State. So a good time to be down there. Wish you were down there, but I think Mom's going to come down there and check it out a little bit, right?
Yeah, and a lot of your friends too.
Yeah, I know. I got a lot of friends coming, so it should be fun. Hey, Dad, you know, first of many segments potentially. Thanks for
yeah, it's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, so, well, this will be the wrap of the show. Yeah, so this is it, and we'll see you down at Blaston Brews just in a few minutes. I want to thank you for tuning in to Home Field Advantage, and be sure to tune in on ESPN 1430 and take a look at our website for all of the rundown of all the shows throughout the week. So we'll see you at Blaston Brews in a few minutes. For Phil Bonatti, that's a wrap here at 1430 ESPN Fresno, your Valley's local sports leader.